on number E, or letter E, on the ordinance or the language. I think it's ordinance language. It says that E, no person shall be cited under this section unless the person engages in conduct prohibited by this section after having been notified in writing by a Oregon peace officer that the conduct violates this section. Is that warning, you know, is an operational issue, but sort of a fit and finish issue? Is that a warning within an hour, a day, one's lifetime?
There's no time limit on the warning.
So if I get a warning once, then that constitutes the warning for the second phase of a...
Yes. We've tried in the past sunsets on warnings, and the administrative problems of that are significant.
And you believe that it's legal to have one warning in your life and then you're subject to the citation forever, or do you go back and have to get a warning and then another citation, or how does that work?
We think that it's legal that if a person's been notified, that notification lasts for keeps. Notification is sufficient and doesn't expire with time.
And is it location specific?
It is not location or behavior specific. And the group specifically, at least the oversight group, specifically addressed that issue in reviewing the warning form that's being developed. I think that the oversight group expects that if a person engages in behavior that's in violation of the code, the person then is warned about all of the behaviors prohibited by the code. And if is subsequently found violating the code, exhibiting any of those behaviors, they could be cited for the behavior, even though it's different than the original behavior that caused the warning to be given.
And then, thank you, I appreciate that. On letter K, it says, violation of this section subjects a person to a maximum penalty of $250 fine only. It's an odd construction of a sentence. Does that mean that they're subject to $250 for their lifetime or for that incident?
Per incident.
Per incident.
Yeah, a violation, okay. Yes.
All right. And I like letter K, just to say in passing. On the resolution, the new sidewalk obstruction or the Safe Oversight Committee noted in the resolution replaces this Safe Oversight Committee. Is that right? This is the... it's got Jared's name at the top. So are these the same, supposed to be the same thing, or are these different?
The two resolutions?
Well, this is the oversight committee we have now, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then is it the same membership called for in the resolution then?
Maria can address that better than I can. I expect the oversight group has been working, and I think that the resolution would just authorize it or require it to continue working.
Okay, so it'd be the same oversight committee. And would you mind talking about how the oversight committee, in your opinion, is working from your perspective?
I believe that the oversight committee is working very well. As you can see on the roster, we have a diverse group of representatives from all the disciplines of law enforcement and the business community and the city. And we have most of the people on that committee were also on the Safe Work Group, so they're very familiar with the history and how we came up to this process. There are only a few people who are new, who have brought in fresh perspectives and have helped guide us, I think, very well.
And I counted in the resolution, and maybe it's just I'm not getting it. I counted an 8-member Safe Committee, and then I count more than 8 members on the roster.
I think that as we went through the process of identifying the scope of work for the Safe Work Group Oversight Committee, we realized we needed representatives from other areas that we did not anticipate originally. For example, someone who would represent the restroom committee that was already in place working. Instead of reinventing, you know, a group, we just brought them under the auspices of the Oversight Committee. So we added new members that way.
So you might take a friendly amendment to
Surely.
Expand it.
Surely.
And then the on the resolution letter B, after the Second, on the second to last, therefore be it further resolved. It talks a little bit about how the Oversight Committee will basically judge progress on this issue, and I can imagine that that's a hard thing to define, what success is, and then to measure progress against it. It does, however, say whether the ordinance is having a disproportionate impact on vulnerable groups such as those who are homeless and whether continuation of the ordinance is recommended. In some of the other work that we've done, and this is probably implied, our concerns, our joint concerns about impacts on community of color, gender. So it does talk about homeless. I'm not sure how you define that. And are you going to also be looking for sort of keeping track of other constituency groups that have been historically sort of underrepresented in decision making?
That's a good recommendation for the Oversight Committee. We'll incorporate that.
Those are my questions for now. Thank you for your answers.
You're welcome.
Other questions? Thank you, folks. How many folks have signed up?
Did 12 people signed up?
I would appreciate it if folks could keep their comments to 2 minutes because a large number of people. So let's go ahead and call up the first three people.
J.E. Isaac, Lisa Schroeder, and Veronica Reinard. They'll be followed by Michelle Martin, David Margulies, and Chris Finks.
I just saw Ms. Schroeder leave, so please call the next
one. Let's have Veronica Reinard. Why don't you come on up? Okay, there. Michelle Martin. And they'll be followed by David Margulies, Chris Finks, and Andrea Meyer.
Thanks, folks, for being here. State your name when you speak, and you each have 2 minutes.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, I'm J.E. Isaac, vice chair of the Lloyd Business Improvement District. I'm here on behalf of our board and in support of the adoption of the ordinance. We have followed this closely and think it's a absolutely wonderful group of approaches to making things better, not only for homeless people, but also for everyone that's coming downtown to shop or to visit all the many things that the Central City has to offer. As was mentioned previously, this does apply in the Lloyd District, and we think it will be very helpful. We are particularly happy with all of the new opportunities that will exist for the homeless, including the day access center is tremendous, the public restrooms, the new benches will be very helpful as well. So briefly, we just wanted to say that the group that worked on this has done an excellent job, and we hope you'll support their recommendations. Thank you.
Mayor Potter and commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to talk with you today about the SAFE plan and the sidewalk obstruction ordinance. I'm Veronica Reinard. I'm the Director of Community Relations for the Portland, Oregon Visitors Association. Our CEO, Jeff Miller, regrets he can't be here this afternoon. He is in a board meeting over at OMSI right now. POVA represents more than 1,000 member businesses related to the tourism industry, and our job is to market the city and the region to bring visitors, meetings, and conventions to our city. We support the proposed sidewalk obstruction ordinance as part of the SAFE 5-point plan. We see the SAFE plan as a holistic approach that really fits in with Portland's reputation for finding progressive solutions and for maintaining a high quality of life. And those are things we're really known for and things that help to draw visitors here. We also see it as something that improves the safety and the ease of movement for pedestrians, including our visitors, on the sidewalks and high traffic areas. And the increased public restrooms and benches included in the plan make the Central City more comfortable, of course, for our visitors as well as for our residents. And in fact, those are items that visitors in the past have said that were kind of lacking. So we're very happy to see those as part of the plan. So I thank you for your leadership on this issue. I encourage you to continue moving the SAFE plan forward by approving the sidewalk obstruction ordinance. And As I mentioned, POVA has a board meeting going on right now. I made up of a lot of business representatives from Portland and the region, and I hope that I can report very soon to them this afternoon a positive outcome on this. So thank you.
Hello, my name is Michelle Martin, representing Ashforth Pacific, a large real estate owner in both the Lloyd District and the downtown area. We would like to voice our support for the new sidewalk obstruction ordinance. We commend the city's approach to dealing with this important livability issue and appreciate the time you've taken to address all of Portland's residents' needs with this process. With the addition of the new benches, the restrooms, and the day access centers, this ordinance takes into consideration both residents' and business needs, creating a win-win situation. Ashforth Pacific urges the council to pass the new sidewalk obstruction ordinance.
Thank you, folks.
We have Lisa Schroeder, David Margulies, and Chris Finks. They'll be followed by Andrea Meyer, Dan Handelman, and Jenny Nelson.
Could you read there? Folks, thanks for being here. Please state your name when you speak, and you each have 2 minutes.
Hi, I'm Lisa Schroeder, owner of Mother's Bistro and Bar and Mamma Mia Trattoria, and I was asked by you, Mayor, to be a part of the SAFE Committee. And first of all, I want to say how much I appreciate being in a city where all stakeholders have a voice and where we can come to the table and learn about each other's needs and listen, be heard, listen, and learn. And I learned a lot being a part of this committee, and for that, I'm very grateful to having been included. And because of that, I really feel very confident that this resolution, this ordinance, is something that all stakeholders can believe in. And as a member of the Downtown Retail Council, the Portland Business Alliance, a business owner downtown, and someone who cares about the people I share the city with, I think that this is something that takes everybody's needs in consideration and hope that you will therefore approve this ordinance. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, I'm Chris Finks, and I head up the Downtown Marketing Initiative. And I would say that this initiative follows up in many of Portland's tradition of innovation and compassion, and we should be proud of that. And based on that, I do urge your support and approval of the SAFE initiative, any initiative that ensures that our city remains accessible to everyone and that it's compassionate, is good for business, and it's good for our community. My job is really to promote the vitality of the central city, and I think that this allows us to deliver on that promise. And I'm hoping that that you consider this and approve this today. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Potter and Commissioners. I'm David Margulies. I'm here as a member of the Downtown Retail Council. I'm from Margulies Jewelers. We've been on Broadway for 75 years. I live every day with the problem of people oftentimes urinating in our glass entryway during work hours, after work hours, people defecating in the handicap alcove to our store, and people blocking our windows of our store. So I am here because I feel it's vitally important that this ordinance gets through, and I think it's been wonderful how it has brought the attention of many parties together, the merchants as well as the affected people who are citizens who need services, and until now, with this discussion, they've been ignored of human needs of having access to toilets and other facilities, which would make it so that they aren't blocking the windows of stores and businesses and harming business when they don't intend to. They just don't have another place to go. So I feel that anything you can do to further this along and help us, particularly because the warm weather is coming, summer visitors are coming. We want people to come from all over the greater community downtown and not be harmed by people who block them on the streets or block the windows so that they can't have access to see the merchants. I've had quite a few customers who have come into our store, oftentimes somewhat escaping because they felt threatened by groups of two or three or four people gathering, and it's been exacerbated lately by outlawing smoking in the square. Now they've all come over to our side of the street and all the adjacent businesses, so it could help in many ways.
So
So before the three of you leave, I appreciate your remarks. And you were, I'm hoping you were here earlier when I was asking questions about the sitting on a chair and demonstrating. In any of your experiences, has any of the issues that you've just identified that are of concern to you included people that are sitting in chairs?
Yes. Earlier this year, there was a legitimate demonstration in front of the Fox Tower of a union, which had a very large sign and chairs. In the beginning of their demonstration, they blocked the windows of Banana Republic, so Banana Republic was being harmed by it. Then they moved the signs out to the street's edge, and they were good demonstrators who had folding chairs because they were there all day long. If they weren't up against the buildings, that's free speech. But
there are three or more chairs being used?
I saw from time to time two chairs, sometimes three chairs, five chairs. So there were multiple chairs. After a while, I think you had to put a limit to how many chairs you could have.
Well, you understand that, from the dialogue that we had, yes. I learned this myself,
yes.
That actually what you've described is actually legal. So I guess
the ordinance?
Well, three or more sitting in a chair demonstrating are legal.
Yes.
Less than three would not be. So I guess my more practical question to you, just I probably didn't frame it right.
How do we iron that out?
No. I'm assuming that if we didn't have the issue of folding chairs at all in the ordinance, and it just spoke to people literally sitting on the sidewalk or lying on the sidewalk, it would address 99% of what you are describing are problems.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a fair conclusion for me to make?
Yes, it's okay. Seldom that we see people with chairs.
That's all I was trying to get at. Okay.
That's the Rose Festival.
Well, those guys get out of hand, too. You know, maybe we need to throw a few of them in the tank for a while.
It's a good problem to have.
Straighten them out.
Thank you.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Next three are Andrea Meyer, Dan Handelman, and Jenny Nelson.
If I start before the clock does. Mayor Potter, members of the commission, Andrea Meyer, legislative director for the ACLU of Oregon. I will try to be speaking quickly with my 2 minutes. I was also a member of the original SAFE working group and am here today in opposition. And I want it noted that, and I also speak highly of the process that was done with the SAFE groups, and that shouldn't go without saying. And ACLU did vote to endorse the report. Because we relied on really detailed language set forth in the report, almost a page and a half of what would be in the ordinance. But we were never shown the ordinance until afterwards. And with all due respect, if we had been shown, the ACLU would have issued a no vote to the report. Mr. Wobo referenced that he assumed that the work group assumed that the old language from the previous ordinance would be the same language when it came to the free speech provision. Again, with all due respect, I have never, even for the last 2 years, looked at the old ordinance and had no idea that we would be relying on that. But I want to quickly touch on a few of our concerns, some of which have been mentioned. The scope of sitting in line has been extended beyond what we had agreed to in the report, which stated in the report that the ordinance would have the following characteristics and oversight elements. No one will sit or lie down on a public sidewalk. And yet the ordinance goes on to include chair, stool, or other object placed upon a sidewalk. In addition, as you've heard, we've also have certain concerns about the free speech provisions. The report said there will be exceptions, will include free speech, assembly, lawful demonstration, parade, etc. However, the exceptions, as you have seen today, first requires a person to either obtain a street use or some other permit, which we believe is not consistent with Chapter 7.22 of the Portland City Code, or second, three or more people are permitted to do so only if they're under 8 hours. We think this chills lawfully protected political speech and raises serious constitutional issues. With all due respect to the analysis of time, place, and manner restrictions, it's my understanding that's really a First Amendment constitutional analysis, and I'm not familiar with court cases under Article 1, Section 8 of the Oregon Constitution which adopt that same standard. Concluding, I would simply say that it should not be a crime or, in this case, a violation to engage in lawful activity of sitting in line on our sidewalks unless someone fully blocks access in the sidewalks. in our downtown should remain available and vibrant for all people, whether they are standing, walking, sitting, or lying. And we think this ordinance goes too far and certainly beyond what we were comfortable agreeing with as a participant in the Safe Work Group. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Potter, Commissioners. My name is Dan Handelman. I'm with Portland Cop Watch. And this ordinance is supposedly based on high pedestrian traffic areas, but the drug-free zone ordinance, for instance, shows that there's a problem by having the number of arrests in the areas. Not that we agree with that, but at least you had to prove that there was some kind of drug activity before you imposed draconian laws. In this case, you're saying these are the high pedestrian traffic areas, which Mr. Wobrell said, I'll know it when I see it. And so people just arbitrarily drew these lines, and there's no data saying that there are people sitting and lying in these parts of the town more than any other. So this doesn't even rise to the same level of standard of the drug-free zone ordinance. And that level of criminal activity of dealing drugs, I would think, would be a lot more serious than sitting or lying on a sidewalk, which I don't think anybody's proven has been an out-of-control problem in the city of Portland. I've been downtown at least once a week since the old sit-lie ordinance lapsed, and I have not seen a proliferation of people coming out and sitting and lying on the sidewalk because there's no ordinance. I also testified last time this came before you that there seemed to be a big rush to put it in place, even though all the elements of the SAFE report are not yet implemented, and it feels like that rush is happening again. This is going on the spirit of everything being implemented and the promises of commitments that are going to happen. And even in the future, the SAFE Oversight Group is going to be reporting back once a year on whether these elements are in place, but there's no guarantee that this ordinance will not be enforced if any of these elements disappears. And that's a very drastic concern. When you're putting something in place that'll give the police this much power and then not double-checking on it more periodically than once a year, you have people who are looking for homes for a lot longer than that. So in short, we're hoping that you'll prove a problem or else institute the whole report before you institute this ordinance. And you should narrow the scope so that it doesn't affect people who are just engaging in simple activities of sitting and lying, which should not be criminalized. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Jenny Nelson, and I work with Sisters of the Road. I can't imagine a time when Sisters community, women and men, youth and children with experience being homeless, would ever say they supported a sidewalk obstructions ordinance for themselves or for any other citizen in Portland. What I can imagine and what I know is that they organized themselves and won and continue to win seats at the tables where issues are being discussed, policies determined, and laws enacted that affect them. In these settings, they are candid about their situations, genuinely attempt to build relationships with the people who have the power and the will to make ending homelessness a priority, and work collectively and diligently with them on the solutions. They go to the root of the problem 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they do the economic and political analysis and the subsequent teaching about what they know. I and all of Sisters take our leadership from people who are without housing. Everyone we have outreached to have indicated they will be responsible for not being the reason another person cannot navigate one of our city blocks, but they do not want a sidewalk obstructions ordinance. Thank you.
So I do have a question of Andrea, if that's all right. So do you have Exhibit A of the ordinance?
Yes.
So Section B on the first page, subsection 1, has the language that I was addressing in it. If you begin at the first word of the sentence, sit or lie down upon a public sidewalk, comma, or upon a blanket, period. If a period were inserted there and the words chair, stool, or any other object placed upon a public sidewalk were deleted, does that address the concern that you have?
Mayor Potter, Commissioner Leonard, that would address one important element of the concerns that we've been expressing and had hoped would be addressed prior to this coming before council had been eagerly asking that that language and our solution to our concern about that language be limited in the manner you've recommended.
Okay.
That would go to one piece.
Okay.
The second piece still is the free speech portion, but
they
are interrelated. They are also distinct.
And so point me to that.
The speech language concerns?
Yes.
I think you've identified them, but they would be page 2. We're in subsection D. And there are two provisions there that causes problems in total, sections 5 and 6. So 5 deals with an exception if you are participating or attending a parade, a festival, a performance, rally, demonstration, meeting, or similar event conducted on a public sidewalk pursuant to and in compliance with a street use or other applicable permit. It's my reading of Portland City Code. You know, there are, when we were participated in the codes about the permit use. For most use of sidewalks, you don't need a permit. I mean, the premise for the permit system, be it the sidewalk or the street, is you're sort of taking them over. So cars can't use the street if you're doing a parade, so you need to get a permit. But this presumes that these are either taking over the whole sidewalk, and that goes too far. So people have the right to rally without a permit, be they 2 or 3, or be they the folks in the union who was organizing. The second exception is, as you've noted, and I have miswrote it because I always, you're right, it's 3. I always was thinking it was a person plus another. It says another exception is if 3 or more are engaging in expressive activity and for less than 8 hours. We believe the restrictions on the number and we believe the restrictions on the time are very problematic.
Do you think they're unconstitutional?
Mayor Potter, at this time, I would just be comfortable saying we believe they're problematic constitutionally.
And they've been ruled constitutional by a court.
Mayor Potter, I'm not aware of that. I'm not aware that there's been any challenge of any sit lie in Oregon under Article 1, Section 8. Certainly Mr. Wolbro can speak to it. I believe a lot of the challenges have been in, well, they've been in federal and state court. It's something we'll certainly be reviewing. But I have, as I said, not seen Article 1, Section 8 case law using time, place, manner restrictions. We'd hope to get to a place where this addressed any of our concerns. So certainly still willing to work on that, but.
Could I ask a follow-up question? So, and it's, again, following up on sort of Commissioner Leonard's line of questioning, because you got to draw a line somewhere. I mean, this, in order to put an ordinance together, and so there's debate between you and others about where to draw that line. So I guess it's a good question to ask. So sitting on a blanket on the sidewalk for you is okay to as a prohibitive activity, but sitting in a chair is not okay as a prohibitive activity. So prohibition on sitting on the sidewalk or a blanket in between the person and the sidewalk, it's okay with ACLU, that's prohibited, but sitting on a chair, that should not be prohibitive. And so I guess it's fair to ask, how did you draw that line?
Right. Mayor Potter, Commissioner Adams, it needs to be in the context of the whole recommendations. ACLU opposes these types of ordinances. As I said, we do oppose creating violations. However, we were part of a work group that came forward with 5 collaborative pieces. And as you'll recall in the report, it says very explicitly that all elements were necessary for each various stakeholders to agree to it. We reluctantly agreed to what we understood would be a very narrow ordinance, and that was narrow to being sitting and lying on the sidewalk only with one of the other pieces, I mean, a number of the other pieces, the restrooms and the day access center, but critical for us were benches, which I frequently talked about in the group, about needing them to be close by so that people would have the opportunity. So it's a policy issue rather than a legal issue I'm just discussing on that first part. You know, no, you could say there's nothing consistent with our position on drawing that line for sitting in line. We did that as a collaborative effort with all the other pieces to a degree of a limited, very limited ordinance. Expanding it beyond that went beyond what we were comfortable with when you got to chairs and stools. So that's the reason on that issue. It was a leap of faith we took.
So I want to push back a little bit on what we just talked about. I understand the concern that you have in subsection 5 with respect to participating in a parade, festival, performance, if you have a permit. But subsection 6 does allow for assemblies without a permit, as long as it's more than
three or more,
and less than 8 hours. So I would agree with you that if we were restricting the ability of people to congregate and demonstrate carte blanche, that would cause me a great concern. But it seems as though sub 6 does take that into account with the language that's been drafted. And so is the concern that you have that there's a limitation of 8 hours? Or is it because I think with respect to the concern you articulated that unless you have a permit, it's not constitutional, really is addressed by the allowing of three or more people to be together. So the only thing I'm seeing here that could be of a concern is the time limit.
Chair Potter, Commissioner Leonard, and I want to be
you
clear.
You spend way too much time in Salem.
I know I do. And protocol,
I recognize that
terminology.
Yeah.
I've been down there too much. This is my release today.
We're much better, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A pause. Adam. She actually thought about it, a pause, and then agreed. Yeah.
Let me try to remember what your question was.
You raised legitimate points, right. And as I read the language, I really think that the only thing I see in there that could be a legitimate concern is the time limit.
Well, and I want to say at the outset, because you included something, I am not advising this body as to whether this is constitutional
I understand
or not.
That.
So
that's not
we
my
think
opinion.
It has concerns. No, there's a few. I mean, let's give you an example of one person who wants to protest the war until the war is over, till the troops come home, and they want to sit down and engage in a vigil downtown until it happens. They're there day and night holding their sign, engaged in lawful political expressive activity. It's less than three people, and it's more than 8 hours. Well, you couldn't even get them there unless under the language it suggests
people.
They get a permit under 5. They don't even qualify under 6. Two of them apparently don't qualify under 6. So if two of you wanted to sit down and protest, you stood up part of the day, but you're engaged in a long-term vigil, or you're, for whatever reasons, you're not able to stand even for a full hour and part of the time you sit.
But what if we removed the part? It would help you to probably understand my thinking if we removed the part with respect to the chair. So if you're in a chair, that would no longer be in and of itself an offense.
Chair Potter, well, you just want me to answer without doing that. I'll try. You know, I think there was testimony earlier that presumes there's an Achilles heel, that it presumes that people who are potentially cited under this are going to say, oh, I'm engaged in political speech or protected speech. You know, I'd rather this council and this ordinance approach it the opposite way. Let us fully embrace free speech and lawful activity. And if there is a problem, if the oversight committee determines that there's been an abuse by folks who are either warned or violated, then come back to the council and deal with that. But let's not assume that there's a problem before it exists. And let's be a city that has often, and this council has often done, which fully embraces, you know, lawful political and expressive activity.
And I'm
this
trying,
goes
I'm,
down the wrong path in narrowing it, and it doesn't fully embrace
I'm trying
it.
To get your help to be able to do that by better understanding specifically what...
Do not qualify it in specific ways that have been done in this ordinance. Do not qualify it by mentioning that someone might need a permit. That's already in Portland City Code for when it does qualify for when you need a permit, and I believe that's when you take over the sidewalk. Do not qualify it by the number of participants or people. It should not be, you know, less than three.
But
do not qualify it by the duration.
But to be fair, you've done that. And I mean, in the work group, you've agreed to compromise to allow a prohibition against people who are actually laying on the sidewalk. So, I mean, we're all trying to get to a place where we can find a middle ground. So what I'm suggesting along that end is that if people were allowed to sit in chairs.
Well, we were comfortable in the very fragile fabric of all the elements to compromise on the city in line, but ACLU will not compromise on free speech activities.
That's what I'm saying. I think I'm saying what you're saying. I mean, I'm saying
but
if you're...
Free speech...
I guess I'm saying that in my view of the world and from the little feedback I got, if one were to show up somewhere with a folding chair, almost by definition, it wouldn't be one of the homeless folks that are of concern that are sleeping on the sidewalk, that they have a chair, and by definition, their activities would not give rise to the concerns that we've heard articulated from the business community. So if we had that, like if you had a chair, this doesn't apply to you.
I think where you and I are having a disconnect is that the chair standard isn't the standard for us when it's lawful political expressive activity or lawful expressive activity, because we don't think that's a required MLA. If they choose to sit down and hold a sign, not with a chair, sit on the sidewalk.
I thought you had agreed to that. I mean, I thought you'd agreed to language that you qualified. You hadn't actually seen the written version of that actually put limits on individuals who could lay or sit on a sidewalk.
It did, but the report also included language that there would be full expressive, lawful, political free speech activity fully protected in the report. And that element
is not in there.
Is not in there. Okay. It's qualified, and as such, it then qualifies the sitting in line to the same extent.
So how do you create that distinction between somebody who is literally sleeping on the sidewalk and then interpret something other than what they're doing to be political expression, free speech expression? What is it? What is that that you were thinking happens to make that okay versus having somebody sleeping on the sidewalk?
You know, how does it make it okay legally? I mean,
I'm asking what it is that they do that falls under that umbrella that you're saying you don't want to prohibit expression versus your agreement that people that are literally laying on the sidewalk sleeping probably can be regulated. What were you thinking of?
What was I thinking? I don't know at this point what I was thinking. It was narrowly tied to the limited activity. It was narrowly tied to the fact that there were benches nearby. It was narrowly tied that there would be a violation and a warning with very little use of this ordinance to actually cite someone and charge them a violation. That it was a very, we hope, gentle tool, but the fact that it doesn't fully embrace free speech activities creates more of a problem. And so, you know, it goes beyond a narrow tool. It's hard. I mean, you're correct. It's how do you distinguish between that and if it were, I guess, a person saying, you know, I'm here protesting something, that would be sufficient. And it gets back to our approach, which would be wait till there's a problem. You know, the whole point of this was to be to give a different dynamic so that law enforcement would come up and say, you know, you've got these available either for folks who might be homeless, the opportunities for other facilities, but other folks to be present and on a bench and not have any difficulties. And we were really focused on that and that dynamic and don't want you all to lose sight of that dynamic. The ordinance is the punishing part, and it's too broad for us because it does give the power under this to cite someone who is engaged in lawful political and or expressive activities. And we would just wish you go back to presume that, you know, it'll be very few times that someone will say they're not moving and argue that it's protected speech activities that they're doing. Wait till you get that problem before you pass an ordinance narrowing speech activities.
That's as close as I'm going to get. I get that.
Well.
Thanks.
Thank you, folks.
Our next three are Patricia Nolan, Neil Donner, and Michelle Martin. Oh, Patrick Nolan, sorry. Paul McAdams.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes. Would you like to begin?
Mayor Potter, members of the council, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Neil Donner. I'm a member of Sisters of the Roads Crossroads Civic Action Group, a community outreach volunteer, and I am currently homeless. Portland's homeless community, men, women, youth, and children, are united in their opposition to this ordinance. While we welcome the opportunity to discuss changes and growth to services that directly affect us, we would like to see them tied to the city's stated and written commitment to end homelessness rather than this ordinance. In the process of conducting outreach and education about this proposed ordinance, these items were mentioned the most: a need for showers accessible by working men and women, a need for lockers to store people's belongings while they access services and look for employment, increased restroom access, including late night hours, a need for benches in the downtown core so people aren't forced to sit on the ground, and a need for day access type services so people have an alternative to being outside. The majority of people in our community would like to see these services provided in a non-programming environment. They would also like the chance to be included in the administration of the services they access. I would like to state again that while being opposed to this ordinance, we as a community feel it is our right and our responsibility to be included in any and all discussions and decisions regarding legislation and services that affect us. Although we are excited by the progress made by the Safe Oversight Committee, we look forward to the day when sidewalk obstruction ordinances are no longer proposed because Portland chooses to address root causes of homelessness rather than the symptoms. And I'd also like to go outside my prepared statement to add that I'm uncomfortable with the notion that this ordinance is being targeted to a subgroup of population rather than the Portland citizens as a whole. Thank you for your time.
Hello, my name is Patrick Nolan. I'm the community organizer at Sisters of the Road. Mayor Potter, members of the City Council, I'd like to thank you for having me here today to speak on behalf of one of Portland's most disenfranchised communities. Sisters of the Road has made its historic and continued opposition to a sit-lie law public on many occasions. Personally, having lived on the streets of Portland for more than 8 years, I feel that the sidewalk obstruction ordinance will not fulfill anyone's needs. I'd like to thank the City and the City Council for their efforts towards real and valued improvements in the lives of the people of Portland living without housing. The SAFE ordinance came to us on the Oversight Committee with five parts: a day access center, increased restroom capacity, more benches in the high traffic areas, a sidewalk obstruction ordinance, and an oversight committee. The part I'm most heartened about is the SAFE Oversight Committee. This is, as far as I know, one of the few times that a city has invited homeless or formerly homeless people to participate in a discussion about a sit-lie law. Although not in the original workgroup consensus, the addition of a large number of showers and lockers will positively affect a great number of people. Storage of personal possessions and improved hygiene opportunities is a key component to getting jobs and eventually housing. Late night access to restrooms is important to the people of Portland. If you're a nation behind a dumpster is an issue for the city of Portland, it must provide late night locations for people leaving clubs or sleeping outside. Asking someone to hold it until Starbucks opens is not an effective way to stopping this activity. We thank the city for working towards improving restroom access. Although not meeting the work group's criteria for a day access center, the Julia West House is a very good beginning. It services between 35 and 55 people at any time and can provide a safe place to be other than a sidewalk. Benches are important to all Portland, whether they be older couples who need a spot to rest or a person living without housing who needs the same. These benches past the few we have placed should be in high traffic areas that would allow them to be more effectively used. We as Sisters would like to see these necessary services tied to the city's 10-year plan to end homelessness, not this ordinance. Thank you for your time.
My name is Paul McAdams, and I'm against this ordinance. And Eric knows how long I've been involved in doing this stuff. You know, years ago, I slept 17 days right out in front of the city hall. And I went to Washington, D.C., and I got arrested in the rotunda, the U.S. Capitol, twice. I got arrested with the homeless, around the homeless issues. And, you know, I mean, I was down at TPI a few weeks ago, and he went in there, and the woman told him, come back in 2 months. And he was homeless. And, you know, I've seen the shelter beds, you know, I mean, the emergency shelters, you know, there used to be a lot more. I mean, now with programs, you have to wait. And used to be a woman was never turned away. Now they are. And there was a report on TV that there were 17,000 homeless in the state of Oregon. and 40% of them are families. And, you know, I'm glad you're getting the toilets and everything. It's, you know, it's I remember Bud Clark saying he was going to put in European toilets, and that was, you know, and they never came about, you know. But I just want to ask another thing. Under this chair, under this thing, will this, what about wheelchairs, people in walkers if they sit down, or scooters? Now, sometimes I have heart trouble, and I have to take a nitro, and I have to sit down on the ground, and I have to sit there for a while. So if I'm sitting down under, I mean, isn't that a violation, you know, my under ADA, you know? I mean, could, you know, I mean, what about people that are under the American Disabilities Act? How will that, you know, how will that affect them, you know? So I guess that's all.
Thank you. And just, sir, for your information, it does cover using a wheelchair, a walker, or similar device as a result of a disability. So it would cover that.
I mean, would I be,
you, it, be clear? You can use those things. Yes, sir.
So you can sit in them. You know, what I mean, sit in there how long? I mean, no, I mean, is there no time limit then?
Not on those devices.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's all who signed up.
Discussion.
Quick clarification: is in the resolution it refers to the oversight committee basically has ensure that all parts of the core work group agreement are enacted consistent with the values expressed. Is this the core work, also known as the core work group agreement? Yes. Okay. So this is, just for the record, dated Street Access for Everyone, Recommendations of the Safe Work Group, dated December 06.
So I do want to express a thought and then make a suggestion to see if I can get support to do this. From what discussions I've had, I really don't think there is an issue with people that are sitting on chairs or stools on public sidewalks. I think the issue is and has been people, it's actually literally sitting on the sidewalk or laying on the sidewalk. I would like to propose deleting a couple of sections, not in sections, but parts of a sentence. The first would be on the first page, subsection, or section B, subsection 1. So if you looked at line 1, it would read, sit or lie down upon a public sidewalk, comma, or upon a blanket. The amendment I would propose would put a period after blanket, bracket out the rest of the sentence down to the semicolon, which would then take out the term chair, stool, or any other object placed upon a public sidewalk. I think that we would also have to be consistent in this ordinance, then on the second page, section D, subsection 7, it would read, sitting on a chair or bench located on the public sidewalk, period, and then bracket out and delete the following language, supplied by a public agency or by the abutting private owner, and then continue on with the existing language there. So I would make that, I would so move that that amendment.
Is that the only reference to that? I thought there were other references to it.
Well, I looked, and there, you know, if staff is here and knows something about that, I would appreciate it.
In the Exhibit A?
That's what I'm looking at, Exhibit A.
Under Section B on the first page?
Mm-hmm.
B1?
Yeah, right. That's where I proposed the first part of the amendment. It would, B1 would read, after, if the amendment passed, sit or lie down upon a public sidewalk, comma, or upon a blanket, period, and then the rest of the sentence would be deleted up to the semicolon.
The ordinance on the front, then, I thought that's what you're referencing to. The front of the ordinance refers to on 4 sub A.
Yeah, these are findings.
That we could.
I suppose we need
before
to.
Before we wordsmith the press, we should
see if I have a second. Yeah. That's why I threw that out.
Suggestion.
There.
But...
Yeah. Another one of my persuasive arguments.
It was a gallant
gone
effort.
Flat.
It was a gallant effort. But it's not that we didn't appreciate it. We still love you.
Further discussion?
Can I, the only, if you want to consider these friendly amendments, hopefully, I don't know if we're allowed to do that, I can't remember, but you have 11 representatives instead of 8 on the resolution, the first, therefore be it resolved, just to keep that. Sort of. On the resolution, the first be it resolved, sorry, the second therefore be it resolved, it says a representative from the police bureau. I think you can just say 11 representatives from, and then it lists the various categories of representatives. And then if on number B, the second line, it says on a monthly basis provide for at least one hearing each year, and I'd like to add and a performance report. So that the hearing is on a performance report. And that's it.
If can I make sure I understand where the change on the 11 representatives is going, please?
So the third line, the second, therefore be it resolved, the first page of the resolution currently reads, the mayor will nominate for each area of the city included in the sidewalk obstruction ordinance a representative from, .. and just change it to 11 representatives from.
Would it be better to keep some of the flexibility there, though, in case there's someone else that
I gave you? An extra one.
I know you did, but if you don't have the number, then it's we can add folks as necessary to.
So representatives from. Fine, sure.
So you're suggesting instead of a representative, just representatives from.
Sounds good.
You're a second.
Second.
Second. Call the vote on the.
Adams?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Leonard?
Is this on Commissioner Adams' amendment?
Yeah.
Aye. Call the vote on item 490.
Adams?
Well, I'm going to make my comments and votes on this. I want to thank the mayor for his leadership on this issue. The key staffers, including Maria Rubio and Stephanie Reynolds and Jared Spencer, had the opportunity to work on related issues when I worked for Mayor Katz, and these are really hard issues, and I think what you brought forward is very creative with multiple dimensions to it, and I recognize that and I really appreciate it. Also, I'm going to vote for this, not only because I think it's creative and sort of has many dimensions to it, but in part as well to the leadership of Eric Stinn and the mayor and others on council. We are putting more money behind our 10-year efforts to end homelessness and being smarter about it than we ever have before. So I think we're fulfilling the other part of this commitment to go after the root causes. So because of the creative approach and because we're investing in trying to relieve the root causes, I'm happy to vote aye, and I look forward to the reports that will be coming forward on progress and how you define success. Aye.
Leonard?
As I said in my opening comment before I asked questions of the first panel, I just can't even express how much I appreciate the Day Access Resource Center, the public seating and benches, the public restrooms, and the showers. I think that in many ways it actually makes the regulation on sidewalks unnecessary by having these kinds of amenities. I really do. And I appreciate the work of everybody involved. I cannot support something, though, that I think even contains what some may characterize as a minor issue, but something that I think is a should have been easily, I think, corrected. Council, of course, has its authority to do what it wishes and express that. I have a responsibility to do what I think is right for the entire community, and I'm disappointed that we couldn't clean up what I consider to be a flaw with respect to allowing people who happen to sit in chairs, which I don't think are an issue, but are contained in the ordinance on public sidewalks. So I unfortunately find myself in the position of not being able to support this. No.
Saltzman.
Well, I'm very pleased to support this. I want to thank the mayor and his staff, and more importantly, the people who served on the Safe Oversight Committee for spending a lot of time on this, wrestling with these issues, city attorney as well. It's certainly, you know, if nothing else, this is a very balanced committee, I think wrestling with very sticky issues, but I think the comprehensiveness of the approach, and I want to thank the mayor for his leadership on that, the comprehensiveness of this approach, I think, is going to make a big difference. I think, as Mike Kuykendall said, you know, we're not going the Seattle route, even though we may have the legal ability to make these criminal infractions. We're going with a civil infraction approach. So I think that's the right tone. That's the Portland tone. And I'm happy to support this. Aye.
Stan?
Well, I think it's a great package, and I think primarily because the different sides have worked together. I mean, my history on this is long, and I've had a lot of heated arguments with people about sit-lie ordinances. Whatever version you pass, they're relatively meaningless, to be honest, if you don't have a team working together to try and make sense of them on the street. You need community policing working very closely, as Officer Myers does, with social service agencies and others to try and figure these things out. I mean, realistically, a civil fine of $250 against a homeless person is not going to be collected. And realistically, there are laws on the books before we pass this one that will stop most of the behavior that people find offensive. So this is really something that has become an issue that in the best sense is symbolic to both sides. We need a new tool. We need to find a way to come together. And I think what Mayor Potter has done, and I think this is a real hallmark of your time in office, Mayor, is brought the two sides together and figured out how do you actually come up with a package that, albeit not perfect, and I think, you know, I don't necessarily dispute some of the arguments people have about flaws in this, not legal, constitutional flaws, but sort of here's something somebody might do differently, but basically a package that works that all the sides can now go out and try and make happen. And I think in doing so, this has moved beyond what I would describe as kind of something that has to be done because all sides know it has to be done, to something that really is a building block towards ending homelessness, and is mainly because we're going about it a different way. And so much of ending homelessness has to be tied to people feeling that they're part of the community. When Jenny and her team talked with homeless people and sort of did it through long oral interviews, what we found is people feel alienated. And this is clearly a process to try and say to people, let's meet the needs, let's have you help define them. One of the reasons it's taking so long to enact this is that I think the council as a whole, and as I raised the concern, Mayor Potter actually took it a step further and said we won't actually enact the ordinance until we have the package right. And I think that that should show people the idea is not to pay lip service to these extra pieces and just enact a law. It's to say that the law just doesn't make sense with all the pieces in place. That being said, I think we failed to get the second day center open. And I want to be real explicit about it because it's really easy to say to folks, hey, you know, we kind of changed the package. I actually think that the decision, which I want to make sure people understand, was to back off a little bit from the second day center. The one that we have is working very, very well, and we're going to keep looking for places to expand it, but to put the effort that was not succeeding at getting a second temporary day center in place 100% into getting a permanent day center moving much, much more quickly. And I really believe if this ordinance can help lead to a permanent day center, which I want to remind people was completely opposed by lots of downtown interests not very long ago, the idea being that you don't want to have some place where homeless people congregate, and that is completely flipped on its head here, and now people are saying we need this place, and this place can be the actual bridge towards getting people tied into a system of housing first and other things that we're all working on to try and end chronic homelessness. And so I think actually going after the mayor's proposed budget, which is not passed yet, but I think will pass, has $350,000 to both fund the immediate day center, but also get moving much, much more aggressively. And the mayor has, you know, worked with me and asked me to kind of lead the charge to find a site. I intend to do that, and I intend to be back to this council long before this calendar year is up with an actual site that I would like to then go, well, before we get to the council, go to the Business Alliance, go to the groups and say, let's make this site work. And I think that package coming out of this sort of propels, I think, what is a very